What's new, Nate?
Well, I'm going to apologize in advance for my voice this week. I was at the, we're recording this on Sunday, I was at the Georgia-Notre Dame game Saturday night, and lots of yelling happened, and so my voice is like kind of shot this week.
You have to protect your instrument.
Yeah.
Well, I know, this is my moneymaker, right?
Yeah.
So,
I think your face is the moneymaker.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, for sure. How was the game? Like, I know it was a frustrating game to watch on TV.
Yes, it was a frustrating game to watch in person.
Okay.
The whole spectacle around the game was a lot of fun. Like, they have new LED lights at the stadium, and so they would, like, do some, like, light show stuff with them.
That's cool.
In between quarters and, like, before the game. And, like, in the fourth quarter, it, like, went dark real quick and then came up red. It was really cool.
Ooh.
That's cool.
Drama.
There was a flyover, which I thought was awesome.
America.
And, yeah. But the Georgia was playing a little frustratingly in the first half. I was frustrated. And then right at the end of the game when they almost – gave it back to him.
Yeah.
I was nervous. But they pulled it out. And, you know, that Catholic team went back up north with their tail between their legs. So.
Wow. I don't feel like you needed to go straight for the Catholics there. I feel like that may have been offensive to some of our listeners.
Go Dogs.
Can we clarify, too, that you have been a Georgia fan for well before your move to Georgia?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was. And growing up, I never disliked Georgia.
Right.
Like, I wasn't, like, a diehard fan, but I really liked Mark Richt, and I never disliked Georgia. But then I started dating my now fiance, Catherine, and her family goes to all the Georgia games. They have season tickets. So I get to go. And so I've become a pretty big Georgia fan
over
the last few years.
It was, like, preordained.
By proxy.
Yeah.
Georgia having the same logo, basically, as the Green Bay Packers.
Correct.
Which
that's
is
the other
your
reason
childhood
I like them.
Team.
Right. Exactly. It's the other reason I like Georgia. So
most of our listeners probably don't know that you had a yellow lab named Packer.
We did. We had a yellow lab named Packer named after the Green Bay Packers.
It was the size of a full-grown Ethiopian lion. It was a gigantic animal. It weighed 250 pounds. It was huge. Could have picked you up in his jaws and jumped.
I think at his peak, he weighed like 150 pounds.
He was huge. Biggest lab I've ever seen.
What's new with you, Trav?
Well, I'll tell you what's new with me. Couple things. One, pretty cool. I got to participate in the Aquatic Plant Management Task Force that FWC formed. And we had our first meeting this past week. And, you know, it's just like any kind of governmental thing, like sometimes it's slow starting. But so we were all like going in there ready to like make changes to stuff, like everyone that was participating. And you can't do that on day one. You got to start somewhere and build some stuff. So I felt like by the end of the day, we'd had a lot of good conversations. We were kind of setting some stakes in the ground as far as kind of what we believed, where we were. But we also, there were some disagreements that I thought were healthy in the room, like from both the chemical side, the fisherman side, the applicator. Like, so I felt like it was part of a cool thing to be a part of. And you know, I was honored to be part of it and kind of represent all you guys listening to this. So if you have, you all know how involved I've been in the spray conversation. If you have comments or concerns or want to talk about that, please reach out, let me know. And I'll fill you in on kind of some greater detail if you want to have that discussion.
Have you ever had to sit for 8 hours in a roundtable discussion?
No, I have not.
Can you even imagine?
That sounds terrible.
Like the level of focus to lean in and be proactively listening for 8 hours to people who may not that's tough.
And there were there were like 25 people in the room, 23 people in the room. Like there was obviously folks like us, fishermen, hunters. There were folks that were experts in aquatic plants. There were folks that own marinas. There were, you know, some NGOs represented. I thought everyone did a pretty good job of keeping emotion in check and having some healthy conversations and dialogues. And I think that's the only way we can move forward on this.
Agreed.
Because it's such a hard problem. And so much of it, I've said this before, so much of that conversation is outside FWC's control. FWC didn't build developments and put 900 people a day here. And, you know, it's like you can get into complexity of the problem really fast. They can't solve that. So they're having to work within some parameters that are difficult already. So what's new with you?
Well, we have new reviews, fellas. Stevel Empire, which is a great name, says
friend of the show, Steve Whittem.
Is he really a friend of the show?
He was at the live show. You met him at the live show.
We have new parameters now.
His wife, we do have new parameters, friend of the show. I'm grandfathering him in. His wife, Stacy, wants to get matching tattoos with you that are a hot dog.
Oh, hey, Stace. I remember you. I was very confused about that night, but I think about it a lot now.
I don't know if she's a friend of the show or not, though. We'll have to check the review. We'll have to check the review board on that.
Can you make a note to talk about friend of the show rules? New friend of the show rules?
Yeah.
Do you have that?
No, we're going to talk about that. That's in my keep.
Great. So Steve Olympire, his review is titled The Engle Tumblr of Podcasts.
Boom.
The podcast that fills the void I didn't know I had. That's what she said. I never had the urge to duck hunt until I started listening. Travis, Emily, and Nate are our great representatives of our community. Stay woke.
Wow.
Lionsider 77, his pod.
This is either Kirk or Alec Fulgraf.
Their podcast, or their review is called My Favorite Podcast on iTunes. Great outdoor podcast. They make you chuckle and they make you think. Keep it up and always stay woke.
Everyone embracing the stay woke mentality.
Love it. Love it.
We are the, hold on, I'm going to interrupt real quick, because in case this guy listens again, I'm not going to put him through the torture of a 45-minute show. But you saw this on Twitter, right? Last week in my keep, I had Natural Rivals, the book, written by John Clayton. Uh-huh. John Clayton on Twitter went and evidently listened to our podcast.
I'm so sorry. Because, I feel so bad for that
this
guy.
This poor dude from Montana checks in and listens to our podcast, and he wrote, "Get it and you will be woke." So he had to listen to some of it to get that even.
I mean,
yeah.
All the way to the end.
So
yeah, had to.
I want to give John Clayton like an honorary friend of the show badge simply for listening to the podcast all the way through. That had to like kill him.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, John. And I'm on like chapter 8 or 9 of that book now, and it's getting good. It's getting really good. So check it out, Natural Rivals.
I want to read it. I got to read it.
I'll give it to you when I'm done. All right. Sorry about that. I hijacked you.
You good.
Were you doing any more reviews? Was that all the reviews?
Nah, we're done for today.
Are y'all ready for a Game is the Foot?
Let's do it.
We changed up Game is the Foot a little bit for college football season. Don't worry, we will be back to drafts soon enough. But for a few weeks here, we decided to change it up. And we are ranking the seasons 1 through 4. Nate, we drew straws backstage. You get to go first. What are your seasonal rankings?
Seasons. So this was a tough one for me. Because
says that about everything. Everything is tough for me.
My brain works in hunting, fishing seasons.
Right.
Like, it doesn't work in, like, spring,
okay.
summer,
okay,
winter,
so
fall.
Are you
going to
rank different seasons?
Like that. No, I'm going to rank the actual seasons. Okay. But I had to process it a little different way. So, okay. I'm going fall, number one.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I think
because
I misunderstood this assignment.
Hunting season and college football.
Yes, agreed.
And it's starting to get cool, right? So I'm going spring number two because of turkey season and things start coming back to life. Now that I experience all four seasons because of living in Atlanta,
right?
Spring is a good one. Winter because I do like cold weather, number three. And then summer because it's hot AF and I hate hot weather. So that's my least favorite season.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good list. What is yours, Em? How did you misunderstand? Hold on.
I think season 4 of The Office is the best season.
Oh, my God. I said, a game is, these are the notes I sent you. Rank the seasons 1 through 4. Have reasons for your rankings.
You didn't say what season.
Then I gave you my picks. Which I will do now.
Listen, I picked. Listen, before I scrolled down to his picks, I was thinking The Office season 4 when I first read it. So I can understand where you're coming from.
We're the same.
But then I scrolled down and read his picks and was like, oh, the actual seasons of the year.
Okay.
I get it.
I got it. I can do this off the top
picked,
of my head.
I'm doing mine and then we'll come to you because you are full of shenanigans. I picked winter first off because that's the most of duck season.
Okay. Yeah.
And I do. I like the cold weather. Like, I just like that snap that we have.
Yep.
Then I picked fall because same reasons you did college football. That's the best sports time of the year, right? College football,
agreed.
NFL, baseball playoffs, NBA, right. and hockey kickoff. I don't watch hockey, but I know it's important to some of our listeners. And then I picked, I picked summer because most of that was a little Canadian jab there, right? Friend of the show, Jonathan Webb. I picked summer because fishing. Like, that's my favorite time to fish. Right. I know spring a lot of folks prefer, but I like the tarpon. I like the snook. I like the summer. And then spring last because something had to be last. I'm not really a spring guy. You get all that pollen, all the allergies. So I have like 1A, 1B, 1C, and spring.
Gotcha.
What about you?
Well, I like fall because I'm a basic white girl. So like pumpkin spice lattes come out. I love Halloween. I love Thanksgiving. I like that people run a lot of marathons this time of year. I don't know.
We got married in the fall.
We got married in the fall. There's lots of good family birthdays in the fall. And then after that, I like spring because it's just starting to warm up again after winter. I like when you can walk outside and like you just feel it. You feel summer the very first second. Like it's just on the verge of getting to hot.
Yeah.
And plus there's tarpon season.
Yeah. That always launches in spring.
And then summer. Because I live in Florida, so you kind of have to like summer. And I love like the cold beer on a hot boat deck, fishing outside, jumping in the ocean to cool off. Like I love all that stuff about summer.
Do we have to clarify the fishing outside? Is there ever fishing inside?
And then,
because where do you fish? Because that would be amazing.
Fireworks and like baked beans.
Nate is giggling like a schoolgirl.
He's covering his face.
He lost it. Nate just went to the zoo.
And winter, I hate winter. I get
You're the only person in Florida that gets seasonal affective disorder in the winter.
I do. I get like the seasonal affective disorder. And you know, winter, Travis, when it's
78.
Travis is at his peak in the winter. It's duck season. He loves Christmas. Like he's the happiest he's ever been. And I'm just like struggling to get out of bed
every
day.
I'm like a giant Christmas elf.
Oh God, it's the
worst.
Yeah,
Catherine hates winter too. So that's her least favorite season.
Oh my gosh. I need to text her.
All right. It's time to pay some bills. Emily, you got this?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Can we talk for a second about all the things that can go wrong during duck season? How many, was it windy? Okay, Early Teal just opened here in Florida. Was it windy yesterday? Was it windy today?
Dude, it was so freaking windy.
And how many boats and cars have you seen go under the water at a boat ramp?
A bunch.
There's a lot of days where people just don't have a lot of experience or they're so excited that they misjudge the wind and they make a bad decision and it can change the course of your financial future. If you don't know what kind of coverage you have on your boat or your house or your shed or your vehicle, you can always call Fletcher Hallett at Hallett Insurance just to get a second pair of eyes on your policy and get a second opinion. He's an outdoorsman and he will understand the best way to protect you.
Did you see the boat ramp that I sent you? Like, yeah. I don't want to say where that was, but that water level.
Yeah, that's the most water I've ever seen in that place.
Yeah,
ever.
And so to put your boat in, you had to put your entire truck in the water. Like it was only up to like the rims.
Yeah.
That could end up in a dicey situation pretty quickly if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So give Fletcher a call, 904-315-5812. F. Hallett, F-H-A-L-L-E-T-T at HallettInns.com. You can call or text that number, 904-315-5812. You going to give us a song?
Double the L's and double the T's, Hallett for all your insurance needs.
Because it is the midst. You're listening to this in the midst of Florida's early teal and wood duck. We got one more day of wood duck, depending on what time you listen to this. If you listen to it early enough, you might have 2 days of wood duck left. I've got 2 days of wood duck left. Anyway, we thought we'd do a little recap, and then we're going to talk about the do's and don'ts of duck season. We feel like we're going to do the Lord's work here a little bit and spread the gospel on making better duck hunters. Emily, why are you shaking your head at me?
Because you clean musicked out my church jokes last week.
Because your church jokes were not appropriate.
Whatever.
So, so with that said, real quick, seeing a lot of ducks hit the ground in Florida. Hit the water, hit the ground, whatever. They're hitting somewhere. They're getting shot. We have already seen a ton of ducks. We've had some bad shooting. Which I will not call out names. Cough, friend of the show, Ryan Briggs. Cough. But I've seen some folks whiff on some very makeable shots in the decoys of teal and wood ducks this week. And I feel like that's a good place to start, right? Like, do's and don'ts of duck season. maybe don't make duck season the first time you pick up your shotgun in 6 months.
That's a good, maybe, that's a good point.
Maybe good point. The do of that is hit the range a couple times, throw some clays there. I know it's hot. I know nobody wants to do it. Go early on a Saturday morning and just to knock the rust off a little bit.
Yeah, and I felt that last weekend when I was shooting doves and I could not hit. Like, I should have had my limit in about an hour.
Right.
But I sat out there for 4 hours and ended up with 13, like, because I couldn't hit the broadside of the barn. So, because I hadn't picked up my shotgun in months. So,
yeah. You got something for his?
No, I'm just laughing. Okay. I just pictured, like, the cursing, the muttering under
oh,
your
there
breath.
Was so much cursing the other day in oh, my yeah. boat. Well, every day in my boat, there's been a lot of cursing, mm-hmm. even from the children who are frustrated. I did have, I won't say her name, but I had a new hunter who missed a moorhen by about 15 feet, God. Sitting stationary on a lily pad.
Come on.
But good for her. Like, that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to get people out there, and we teased about it. She's like, I quit. I'm done. And then, like, 10 minutes later, she was shooting at another one. Like, so we...
Right, yeah,
you gotta
yeah,
stick
yeah.
in there. You gotta develop some tough skin. We're making America better, yeah, out in the duck blind. So that was my first don't. Anybody, either of you got one?
Do we do don'ts first, or does it matter?
Well, I'm doing my don't, and then telling you what the opposite of it is.
Oh, you had a method. I have a do of duck season, which is just, you know, write poetry about your feelings.
Oh my God.
That was the greatest poem I've ever read in my life. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
I was just laying in bed the night before early teal started, and I just felt like it just came to me. It was just like came to me. The Lord gave me this poem. It was a parody of "Twas the Night Before Christmas," but it was the night before teal season. So go check us out on castandblastfl.com on,
yeah,
well, on Facebook.
I'll publish that as a post on our page too, so we have it saved for all posterity.
Yeah. Then everyone can go.
And then we can share it again.
Gather your children around you the night before the season every year and read it to them.
Yeah, it was well done and got a lot of virality on the socials.
Yeah, except for a frenemy of the show, D-Wood Nasty.
Who threw some haterade at you oh, and man. Wanted a haiku or something.
He gave it 1 star.
He did give it one and a half stars.
It hurt. You know, it hurt.
What do you got, Nate?
So, one of my big don'ts is... Don't shoot over your buddy's head.
Oh, my God, yes.
Like, that's a big thing. Because when ducks come in and the first shot rings out, they start going a little bit everywhere. And stuff gets a little crazy in the duck blind sometimes. So my do of duck season to prevent this is set kind of like boundaries.
Yeah.
So when you're in the boat and you're in the front and somebody's in the middle and someone's in the back... The guy in the back has from, like, left behind him to 90 degrees in front of him.
Yeah.
The guy in the center has about 120 degrees.
Either way. I love that you're doing this on
like,
a podcast with your hands.
He's gesturing right. with his arm.
I'm trying to explain it as best
you're
I can.
You're doing great.
And the guy on the front of the boat has to the right, you know, from behind him to 90 degrees in front of him. It's just the best way to prevent.
Picking lanes.
Right, pick your lane and stay in your lane.
That's a really good, go ahead.
I visualize it as like pizza. Like the slice of pizza is at your face and the crust is out in front of you and you can't swing past the crust.
Yeah.
There you go.
I would offer on top of that, because I didn't have this written down, but that sparked one for me. Everyone in the boat needs to shoot sitting down or shoot standing up.
Yeah, because either or. Yeah,
yeah,
either
you,
or.
You tend to flow better if birds are flying from right to left, let's say. You tend to all swing the same. If you're all standing up or sitting down, but if somebody's standing up and the person to their right is sitting down in that scenario, it could get very hairy, very fast.
It's a dangerous situation. Yep.
So
either all stand up or all stay seated.
Absolutely.
Not this mix of stuff.
All right. Mm. I've got the obvious one. Sky busting, taking shots over 35 ish yards. I don't care if you are Chris Kyle, like, American Sniper, like, please just pick good shots, because every interaction a duck has with a hunter educates that duck and can impede further quality, especially on public land.
Oh yeah.
Like a lot of these ducks are getting hunted hard. So if you're taking a shot at every bird that flies by, that's going to cost us quality hunts in the future of birds that may come in and work. Your spread may be just a little off. You might be exposed. Something maybe there may be something that's causing them not to fly in. So if you're taking these 40-yard passing shots, A, they're not a super ethical shot. Even if you think, I know that's a fine line, but you got to think you're going to make the shot every time you take the shot, right?
Right. Yeah.
I just struggle with that. So that's my don't.
One of the way I look at it, if you think before you shoot, well, let me try it. Don't take that shot.
That's a good way to look at it, Nate.
Don't take that shot. Like if you're just being like, let me throw one out there and see what happens. It's not a good mentality to have before you shoot. When you throw out the shoot, you should be like, I'm going to kill this duck.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always try to identify the duck well. Like I know if we're in a certain area, yeah, those are wood ducks at 100 yards coming because of the way they fly or even the noises or whatever. But I want to see some feathers. I want to see some markings. I want to see their feet or their bill or their right. eye. Like I want right. to see something distinguishable before I take a shot because that tells me he's close enough for me to take a good ethical shot on.
Yeah, for sure.
If I can see what color his eye is, he should be dead. He should be able to go tell his friends what happened.
Can I say something about aiming?
Yes, please.
Because Justin. Who's Justin?
I don't know what Justin.
What?
Travis.
Wait, what?
Justin, your other husband? You do another podcast with him on Tuesdays?
I don't know who that is. Like, I literally don't even have a Justin in my life. Maybe my cousin. Travis was saying after the hunt where he took this teenage girl for her first hunt, he was trying to give her something to help her aim. And he said, think of your shotgun as a water hose. And so you don't have to close one eye and aim. He said, you're not trying to snipe Osama bin Laden. You're just trying to hit the duck with the water hose. And I was like, that is such a helpful visual to me of like,
yeah,
just, it just makes the way you think about pivoting your body different. The way you hold it is different. It's just, that was such a great, helpful visual. I want to say that on the show.
No, thanks. That's a good one. My grandfather told me that. My grandfather is the best shot I've ever seen. And that's not somebody bragging about their grandfather. He would shoot China berries with a BB gun, which are these little berries. And we'd roll them down and he'd just pluck them off. He was incredible. But he never even aimed. It was all reflex. And he's the one that gave me the water hose tip.
All right.
Just point and shoot.
My next one?
Yes.
Don't forget that you can hunt in the evenings.
Yes.
Especially with like little kids, teenagers, wives, families. Newcomers. It's just like, just not as stressful. There's not as much pressure because you're up so early and you're not fighting for as many spots. So just throwing that out there because there was a lot of years where we didn't do that. And then we just sort of like dawned on us that we could do that with our kids.
With the kids, it became a much more, and with me guiding so much in the mornings, that became a much more user-friendly hunt. You don't have to be out there super early. You can get out there at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the winter.
And you don't have to sit as long because once the sun set, you're done.
It's an hour.
Whereas like in the morning, the sun rises and then you kind of have a longer window.
Yep.
So.
No, that's a good one.
Thanks.
I'm going to go, don't buzz the entire lake when you're done hunting and call it scouting. I see this. I've seen this week a lot.
Yep.
Watch other birds, watch other hunters. There's no shame in if you're on a lake and you see guys just whacking them in a spot. That's part of the game of public land. But don't just get up when you're done and run around the edge of the lake and bump all these birds out because you're just putting pressure on them. It's just a different, it's not really that right. different kind of a pressure. You're just putting a pressure on them that's not going to be, you're affecting the quality of all the hunts going forward. Go to your spot, shoot your ducks, pay attention to what goes on, choose your next hunt.
That's a good one.
I'm all
easy
about,
as that.
Yeah, I'm all about quality of public land hunts, and I see so many habits being formed right now because we're all so thirsty to get after some ducks that I'm really worried we're going to be impacting some of the behaviors of the birds that are going to have fallout in the long term.
Right. No, I agree.
What you got, Nate?
In Florida especially, don't overcall.
Yes.
Like, or don't call at all.
Yes.
Like, a lot of times in Florida, these birds don't react to calling, especially like ringneck ducks and stuff like that. They're just not, they don't react to calling very well. And so the only time I ever pick up a mallard call is if I see some mottleds a couple hundred yards out.
Yep.
Like, just to kind of get their attention,
yep.
just to get them to look. And then we call it some woodies sometimes too with a wood duck call. And it's very sparing. and it's not like we're not hammering on it. You're not at a duck call competition. Just quacks and like minimal squeals to the wood ducks. Just keep it simple. Don't blow, because you blow at them too much, they're just gonna fly away.
They're not
interested.
I'm gonna jump on top of that for a second too. I was talking to Scott McKinney with Darkwater Calls a couple weeks ago, and I've had a lot of people ask me, how do you call wood ducks? Because I think what they think is, like with a mallard situation, there's a back and forth as that bird's working in. And you've been with me enough. I feel like when I call wood ducks, it's more of a break call. I'm trying to get them to break and look over to my spread and pay attention. Now we'll call them in on the water. I'll do a back and forth with them when they're on the water and they'll swim over. But when they're out flying and stuff, I'll hit it like a call one time and don't hit it again, because I'm really just trying to get them to turn and break. If I can break their head, I can usually get them to come to my spread. So it's not, and I'm kind of the same with mallards or mottleds. I'll hit the one thing I'll do a lot with them. Now I'm not hunting South Florida like the STAs, and I know it's a little bit different down there, but the one thing I'll do with them is I'll do that Drake grunt, that burr.
Yep. Yep.
And I'll do that like once or twice. And usually you can get those birds to turn and look at you, especially that's a good late season tip, because there's, you get a lot of single drakes for whatever reason will come in on that. So I don't know why they do, but that's been my experience, and I've shot a lot of models doing it that way. That's a good tip, Nate. You got another one?
Yeah. I know I talk about snacks all the time, and that's kind of to be funny, but also I do eat a lot of them. And if you are bringing like snacks on a duck boat, and they're like individually wrapped, unwrap a bunch of them and put them in a Ziploc bag at home. So it's like less garbage that you're producing in the boat and less noise that you're making.
Smart.
Like,
that's a good,
like
good tip.
Peppermints. Like if you bought a bunch of like wrapped up peppermints, you could just unwrap them.
I've had several people in my boat this week ask why you weren't there with snacks.
Well, someone's got to fund this show, kiddies. Yeah. So if you want me to be able to be on the hunts, so you got to go to Patreon and sign up to be a friend of the show and support us.
You got any more?
Yeah, I got one more. Don't crowd people.
Yes.
Like, especially like public land hunting, especially on certain lakes, there's like a certain number of spots where ducks will hang out. And if someone's in the spot that you wanted to be in, don't run up 100 yards beside them and throw out your decoys and start hunting. Like, let's have some common courtesy here. There's more spots available. Let's go find another spot away from that person. Because why cause unnecessary drama, and why cause unnecessary angst with the another person sitting next to you?
Yes.
When you're both just out there trying to have a good time and trying to kill some birds.
You know, what's crazy too is you and I've talked about this. We've had some really good shoots when we go to a whole lake. Because here's the thing I hate. I hate the earliness of this. Like used to, on some of the lakes near our house, we could show up at 5:30, have a good shoot. And we're recruiting duck hunters hard. We're pushing more people to get on the water. So I'm happy. I don't get frustrated when I show up and there's 10 boats already in the water. But what that means is you may go to spot A, B, or C, and there's already people sitting there. But a byproduct of that is the ducks are not going to sit in spots A, B, or C because there are people sitting there. So unless they happen to kill all of them, they're going to go somewhere else.
Right.
If you can go somewhere else on that lake, make an appealing spread, you'd be surprised what will happen or what you may not know. So we file a lot of spots away, and Nate and I found a spot one time, and we ended up killing shovelers, teal, mottleds, wood duck, like all kind of stuff in this spot that was just, we shot ringers there. Like it was a really weird off the wall spot, kind of out of necessity. And it ended up being a very productive spot that entire season.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Nobody else hunted it.
Hmm.
Yeah. We were the only ones.
Mother is the necessity of invention. No.
Necessity.
That's it. I'm sleep deprived, y'all. I ain't slept in days. All right. My last one is don't feel bad when you get shut out. Like I feel like we get so hung up on numbers and social media posts and, oh, he's not a good duck hunter. He posted a sunrise pick or a sunset pick or whatever. And I'm telling you right now, I rarely will post ducks on the day they were shot there's a lot of days I don't want folks to know necessarily. And you and I have talked about this in detail, Nate. I don't like to post pile picks. Like, yeah. I like to post a single pick or a pair or whatever. A pile pick glorifies something that the success is going on the hunt. And if you get out there and you hunt and you don't learn something, it's very rare that that happens.
Like, oh, yeah.
I can't tell you how many times we've hunted together and had a shutout and figured out a way that would turn us into better hunters, just like I was talking about. Like, we figured out other ways to get to the birds because they're not on the spot that we're on. We got the wrong X. Maybe they've changed a feed. They were feeding on spatterdock and now they've moved to something else. It's just if you go out there and you don't learn something, yeah, that probably wasn't successful unless you had fun. But don't be frustrated if you get shut out. It happens to all of us.
Oh yeah.
So just go have fun. You got anything else you want to add to that?
I'll do one. You can cut it out if you want. Okay, a do. Like another one, or you just want to put a pin on your point?
I want to put a pin on it.
Oh, well then, never. I don't have anything. I had a do that we meant that I didn't get to do.
What is it?
If you're cooking in the boat, make sure your griddle's hot enough so that you don't want hot snakes and bubble gut because your food wasn't done.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And if any of you listeners know what I'm quoting when I say hot snakes and bubble gut, send a message. First person who says it right, I will send them a hat because that is a deep cut
Dang.
From the wonderful show. And if you know what it is, I'm sending you a hat. We're going to be best friends forever.
Wow. Okay.
There you go.
Hot snakes and bubble gut.
There you go. Nate, what is your release?
My release is this tease of fall weather that we had last week.
Oh, my God.
I mean, like tease. Oh, my gosh. Up here, it was like in the 50s in the morning.
Ugh.
I was like, dude, what is this? And now it's going to be back in the 90s next week.
That sucks.
Yeah, we did some hunts, and it was like, man, it's almost cool. It's almost cool out here.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like releasing the little taste we got because it's just not – I'm like ready for cold weather.
This is Nate with your pre-recorded weather update.
Yep. Yep.
We do the only weather show in America that's recorded 3 days in advance.
Hey, I'm just giving the people what they want.
You're like the Jim Cantore of this show with a beard.
Yep.
With a better beard. So you have a beard. What is your release?
So my release is mosquitoes, specifically carriers of triple E.
Encephalitis?
Eastern equine encephalitis. Three people in, Montana or something. It was one of the M states.
Maryland?
This is your geography section of
three
our
people
show.
In,
Mississippi?
In one of the states have died of eastern equine encephalitis this year. With
New Mexico?
Four more people infected.
Michigan.
It is Michigan. It's Michigan. I didn't read it down far enough.
I can't do it.
They started moving high school football games because there's too many mosquitoes out and it's too dangerous. People are getting the triple E. But I also saw an article, by the way, if you're a white-tailed deer hunter, don't be scared. White-tailed deer can carry. White-tailed deer.
Okay.
Can carry eastern equine encephalitis, but you can't contract it from deer to human. It's safe for hunters if you want to eat your deer.
Good to know. Thank you.
Wow. So that was your release.
That was painful. I'm releasing the mesquites.
There are listeners to this show. Your dad had encephalitis. I don't know that it was eastern equine encephalitis, but he had encephalitis when he was a kid. There are listeners of this show, though, I know from Florida duck hunters that have had encephalitis through mosquito bites in their youth and their younger days. It's very serious. Very serious. That's why I go with 100% DEET. Which I had a person in my boat this week that could not keep names straight. And she called DEET Brent. She's like, can I hold the Brent? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I need the Brent. The mosquitoes are getting me. And then she couldn't remember that a gallinule was called a gallinule. She called them gladiators. She's like, are we done shooting ducks? I'd like to go shoot gladiators now. It was a hoot, y'all.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So funny.
My release is general grumpiness among the honey community.
Oh, it's
so you're
terrible.
Releasing yourself.
I am not grumpy. I'm a delight. Where I'm going, what specifically triggered this was, I shared that article from NPR on our Facebook page, and it was like a PR good move for hunters. It was talking about there's 3 billion less birds in the United States in the last X number of years, 30 years or something, I forget. And in the article, one of the scientists said, geese and duck numbers are up, and the reason is specifically due to hunters' concern over the well-being of the waterfowl. And I'm like, that's a thing we should be happy about. NPR is nodding in hunters' directions.
Right.
And everyone's like, no, this is global warming. This is climate change. This is a disaster. I'm like, dude, swipe left. Just
get
click
out
the unsubscribe button, bro.
Leave.
Button.
Yeah, spray some Brent on yourself and go shoot a gladiator, Karen.
Well, anyway, just the general grumpiness is like, we can't get out of our own way sometimes. Y'all be
I'm
nice.
I'm telling you, man, it's terrible. It's terrible.
What is your keep, Nate?
So my keep is I'm going YouTube again because I watch a lot of YouTube.
I have a YouTube keep, content. Too. Oh, my God.
YouTube. Do you really?
Yeah. Look at
this. So there's a channel out there called, I think it's just called Hunt. And it's the Hunt 41. Original, right? No, but it's the Hunt 41 series of videos. And they're going around the country shooting the 41 species of ducks and geese.
Oh, that's cool.
Are you in that group?
And they're no, I'm not.
I'll add you to that group. It's a great Facebook group.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Hijack his keep.
Sorry.
No, that's good. That's good to know. I need to know that thing, those kinds of things. That thing? Okay. Anyway. But it's really well produced. And it's just, they talk about some of the stuff we talked about today, being like, you know, hunters are our worst enemies.
Yes.
And our almost enemies. And we need to create this brotherhood and bring new people in and preserve the art of waterfowling. They talk about that a lot.
Yes.
Which I think is pretty cool. So if you're into it, check it out. Hunt 41 is the name of the series. They have two episodes out right now, Utah and California. By the way, we need to go to Utah and shoot ducks.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go, Mormon beauty bloggers.
No,
let's do it.
Not what we're doing.
That's what I'm going for.
I would love to hunt the Salt Lake.
Oh, me too.
I've heard they take airboats on the Salt Lake when it's frozen
over.
They do. Is that what they're doing in the video?
They do. They do take an airboat. They kind of break it up into like 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
So one day they're in layout boats shooting divers. Another day they're in an airboat getting back to some really shallow stuff.
Shooting puddlers.
It's really cool. Really cool
stuff. A lot of cinnamon teal. I need some cinnamon teal in my life. Em, what is your keep?
Okay.
Mormon beauty bloggers.
How sore is your back today?
I don't even know where this is going. It's sore. Like I've been in a duck boat for days and days and days.
So I have talked about this channel on this show before, but there's a YouTube channel called Bob and Brad. Their claim to fame is they're the most famous physical therapists on the internet. And it's these two older guys and they are super dry funny, but they are physical therapists and they specifically deal with like common pain, knee pain, ACL pain, torn shoulder, neck, like back pain. And so they just put out a new video almost every single day. And it's like the stuff you would pay for at a physical therapist's office. You can do it at home.
It is a good video series. Like they'll teach you how to put the tennis ball on your back and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so they just released one called The Best Sleeping Positions for Neck and Back Pain. And they talk about mattress types. They talk about like if you lay on your side, I didn't know this, you should get like a sofa pillow and put it under your rib cage between you and the mattress because there's like there's a void there when you lay on your side and it helps level your spine back out.
Yeah. Nate and I don't have that same void that you do.
This is absolutely true. And I'm a side sleeper.
That's
and
funny.
I've never really felt that.
Anyway, they talk about like how to position pillows so you're not like folding over on yourself, like for your pecs and your back and your neck. So like, check them out, Bob and Brad. We'll put a link in the show notes for you. But if you have any types of chronic pain or like, I feel like this time of year, sitting in the duck boat with a shotgun jarring you, kind of hunched over or just like tense waiting for the birds to come, it's a nice thing to have an option to go do for free on the internet. And it does work.
True dat.
True dat. Double true.
My keep is our listeners. You guys have been coming in clutch with reviews. We're getting like a lot of reviews in, and I thank y'all. Like seriously, I appreciate that a lot. We talk about that a lot, but I know it's a little bit of a pain. But also patrons, which is what they call them on Patreon. So we released last week a new thing called Friend of the Show, and then we released another one called Conservation Club. And what you can do is if you really like what we're doing, you can go out there and sign up to become a patron of Cast and Blast Florida, and it'll bill you the first of the month, like $3 or $8, depending on which level you choose. And you can choose to give more than that if you want to. And ultimately, we'll be giving some special content through those channels. Like that'll be the way you get access to some of the content that we produce. So the other thing I want to talk about is later this week. I've got three keeps really. Later this week, you will hear the first of an interview series that we are launching called Cast and Blast Conversations. First one, it's going to launch Thursday, so in 2 days, and that is Mr. Eric Orlando of Six Drinks Photography.
Photography guru, genius.
Yeah.
Incredible.
The stuff we talk about on that, we talk about his Wingbone call collection. Like that dude's got, I shouldn't say it in case Dana listens to this, his wife, but he's got some coin and some Wingbone calls. He's a snake junkie. Like he's always out catching snakes. And we talk a lot about that. We talk about how he got into hunting, his early formation of hunting, his dogs, because you know, how he loves to take pictures of his dogs. Like,
yeah.
Just a fascinating dude. I call him the most interesting man in Florida hunting. Florida outdoors, maybe. So make sure you guys will get it if you subscribe to us. Wherever you subscribe to your podcast, you'll get the show with Eric Orlando. And then I'll go ahead and tease out that next week we're going to be releasing one with an FWC marine biologist, Eric Weather. And that's going to be fascinating too. So we've got more of those coming down the pipe. And if you like that kind of content, there's going to be some more of that coming as well through our Friends of the Show and Conservation Club channels. So thank you guys so much. Like we do this because we have fun with it, but we've also kind of created a cool culture and tribe among all of our listeners. And so thank you for some folks can't afford to do that kind of stuff. And I appreciate them leaving a review, but some folks can. And I appreciate those of you that already have and those of you that will sign up to be a part of what we're doing.
Yep. So links to the Patreon sign up sheet are like going to be in our show notes.
Show notes and
castandblastfl.com.
We put a Linktree link in all of our stuff. If you click on that link, it'll be a button in there. It's not today. It will be when this show goes live.
Okay, great.
There you go.
Stay woke.